a spiritual culture. What we're after here is the spiritual passion we find in the book of Acts. And I want you to turn the page to page 5. I want to look at a couple of scriptures to describe what we're after. When we say spiritual, we're not talking about weird or spooky or mystical. Here's what we're talking about, Acts 2, 42 through 45. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer, and everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. And I want to say this. I hope you never lose the sense of awe of what you get to do every day, no matter what part of it you're doing, whether you're editing videos or whether you're entering data in a spreadsheet. I hope you can appreciate the awe of lives being changed, of churches being planted, of campus missionaries going and preaching the gospel on the high schools and universities, of underprivileged students being served and fed and given the opportunity to have an education and pull their families out of poverty, of all the other things that are doing. I hope you can pause for a moment in your busy day and just stand at awe in what God's doing to change lives. Sometimes we get used to something. We can just see it so much that it doesn't have any impact. Some of the most people come from all over America to Nashville and the surrounding areas for motorcycle rides. My middle son and I ride when we get a chance together, and we're so used to some of the most stunning mountain roads and curves, and just the scenery is stunning. What happens when we have someone who's never been around there and we take them riding, they talk about it with jaw dropping. That was the most amazing, all this stuff. And then James and I have to remind ourselves, yeah, this is pretty amazing. You know how you get used to something, you see it all the time, and it loses the shock value and the value and the awe. And we need to watch ourselves with that. It says here, everyone had a sense of awe at what was happening. Verse 44, all the believers were together and had everything in common. You know, it's possible to be together and have nothing in common. You go to the mall over here and you're actually literally together with people, but you have nothing in common with them. There's another thing to have everything in common, but you're never together. And I think the power comes with both. When we intentionally come together with people of common value and common beliefs and common mission. They sold property and gave possessions as anyone had need. Acts chapter 6, verse 1 through 7. This is describing what we're doing once again. Verse 6, in those days when the number of disciples was increasing, the Hellenistic Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. So there was the growth caused a management and admin problem, and some things were not being taken care of, and so there was tension. Verse 2, so the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, it would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word in order to wait on tables. Verse 3, brothers and sisters, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them and give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word. This proposal pleased the whole group, so they chose Stephen, a man full of faith, and it lists the others in verse 6. They presented these men to the apostles, who prayed, laid hands on them. So the word of God spread. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. So what happened? Their growth caused some administration. Some plates that were spinning fell. Some jobs that were supposed to get done didn't get done. Some things were overlooked. The growth created a situation where they needed more administrative management structural layers in there. And so they created that. And you know what that caused? More growth. It didn't solve the problem. It created more problem. You follow that? But that's okay. That's just the cycle of growth and of God's blessing. But the point was, they prayed, they sought God, there was a problem, and they had to cry out to God. This was what the book of Acts looked like. Acts 17:11. Now the Berean Jews were more noble character than those in Thessalonica. They received the message with great eagerness and examined the scriptures every day to see what Paul said was true. So this is trying to look at some of these scriptures, describe what we mean by a spiritual culture. There's growth, there's prayer, there's seeking God for answers. In Acts, that one in Acts 6 where the growth calls the widows to be overlooked. They sought God. They got an answer from God. And I think as much as we want to be professional and we do a good job at that, we can't lose the spiritual side. At some point, the answer to whatever you're facing is to cry out to God for wisdom and for His anointing to bring it to pass. I don't want to get spooky and weird about that because, yeah, you need to upgrade your skills, but even in the midst of that, because of what we do, this job is different. How many of you came from the corporate world? Anybody? Okay, just about everybody did. All right, this is, there will be something different about what you're doing than you did anywhere else. And that is, I'm not the most mystical person around here, but I do know there is spiritual warfare involved in what we do. I'm not sure what a principality, a power, and a stronghold, I don't know what they are. I don't know. I just know they're bad. All right, and I know they try to stop us from doing what we're doing. Now, how that all works and how fasting and praying in tongues and all that slows them down, I don't get it all, okay? Maybe Bishop Manny can explain it better than me. I just know it's real. And there are times when there are spiritual forces of darkness that are trying to stop you from doing what you're doing. And when you worked at SGV, they didn't care what you did. They didn't even know you existed. But because the mission that they were doing had nothing to do with pushing darkness back. Now what you're doing has spiritual implications, and it has spiritual territory being taken from the devil, and light is going in when there was darkness, and so there are demonic forces that are piled up trying to stop you. They're not just trying to stop when one of the pastors is laying hands on a sick person to get healed. They're not just trying to stop that. They're trying to stop you from getting the right data into the computer so that a partner doesn't get a thank you letter and they get offended and they stop supporting a missionary. Okay? Because the devil is trying to stop those campus missionaries from getting out on that campus. And whatever that can be done to stop that, there's spiritual warfare. So I'm certain you've encountered things that are spiritual warfare in nature. And so we need to be the same way that cross-cultural pioneer missionaries better get up and pray and put on their armor of God when they go to their day of work of pioneering in Cambodia or in Myanmar or Laos. You need to do the same thing because this is spiritual warfare. You need to take the sword of the Spirit and the shield of faith and the helmet of salvation, and you need to go to your post because this is a spiritual ministry. This is a spiritual movement, and there will be spiritual opposition. Now, again, I don't want to get weird, and I don't want it when the printer runs out of ink and, oh, that was an attack of the devil. No, it needs to be changed. Okay, don't pray over it. Just put a new cartridge in there and change it. So everything, don't get weird, okay? Please, look at me. Do not get weird. Don't be weird. But realize there is spiritual warfare. Okay, does that make sense? All right. So spiritual passion. We want a spiritual culture. We're not just a corporate job doing things in our own strength. We need the help and the power of God to help us accomplish what we're trying to do. Three key words, spiritual. And spiritual, all you need to write on that next blank is not weird. Spiritual doesn't mean weird, it means spiritual. In other words, there's something beyond the flesh and blood that we're dealing with. Our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and forces of darkness in this world. There is a demonic side to this. Number two, humility. To be spiritual is to be humble and to take a humble approach, not thinking that we're better than others or that you're better than others or that because, look, I don't know anything that will damage your ability to do your job or our calling, anything that'll damage it quicker than pride, than thinking that somehow we're doing more or doing better than someone else. Listen, if we're doing more than some people, it's because we've been doing it for 30 years, they've been doing it for 10. It's not because we're better. We've just been at this a long time. And so if you're doing something a long time, you're probably doing more than somebody who hasn't been doing it very long. That's just the way it is. It's not because we're better. It's just we've been doing it a long time. We're older than most churches in this city. So I think we've got to watch. There's a good kind of pride of being, I'm proud of my church. I'm proud of my sons for their success. There's a good side of pride where but then there's a bad side, an arrogant pride, where we look down on others and we think we're better than people. And we need to take pride in our work. That's a good thing. Take pride in the way you do your job. Do it with all your heart as unto the Lord, but don't be arrogant and insolent and where we start comparing and thinking that we're better. That's what I just went blank. I'm having a jet lag moment. The parable. There's a parable I'm thinking about. What was the parable? It'll come to me. All right, keep going. So when we talk about a spiritual culture, spiritual doesn't mean strange and weird. Jesus was the most spiritual person who ever lived, and he connected with people who were religious, not religious, who were all kinds of people. They didn't look at him and go, boy, he's a weird religious person. He was deeply spiritual, but able to communicate and connect at every level. But the keys to having a spiritual culture, the first one is humility, and the second one is hunger. And when I say hunger, it's hunger for more of God. Being hungry for God, having a desire to grow in God, having a desire to please God. And so I think if there's anything that we want to capture here to be a spiritual culture, like the book of Acts, is we're never satisfied. We always are hungry for more. And, if you had breakfast this morning, you were satisfied for a while, but eventually if you're healthy, you're hungry again by lunchtime. But if you just eat and you never get hungry again, then you're sick. Something's wrong. You need to go to a doctor, figure out what's wrong. I think spiritually, if we eat on Sunday, we have worship, we get a good sermon, and we don't get hungry until the following Sunday, something's wrong. There needs to be a spiritual hunger in us that desires more of God. And as a movement, that there's a spiritual hunger as a movement where we're not satisfied with where we are. There's a desire to see God's glory and God's honor and God's kingdom expand. And there's a deep desire, not a self-satisfaction, but a deep desire for more. And we want to cultivate that in our individual lives, as a department, as ministry teams and management teams and admin teams and whatever context you find yourself in. I hope there's a hunger for more, not just more work, but doing more for the kingdom of God. A real desire for that and a real passion for that. That's what we say when we mean a spiritual culture. That's how we develop that we keep spiritual life in our own lives. And there are, I don't want us to be, again, there's a lot of work that all of us have to do, but it should never be at the expense of being spiritual. We should find, and like I told you how I had to find a time to have spiritual connection with our key leaders in Nashville. And that's what that every Tuesday morning from 9 to 10. There are also several times that we've encouraged. There are two times a week where there are prayer meetings, the last hour of the workday, from actually 30 minutes, from 4:30 to 5 on Tuesday, 4:30 to 5 on Thursday. So there's two 30-minute prayer slots every week. And again, our office is much smaller, but we don't force, but we manipulate. We strongly encourage everybody who works in our office to be at one of those prayer meetings, either Tuesday or Thursday. And we encourage them to do that. But it's only 30 minutes. And so some of you may get those texts. I think the office might get them here. They send out these text blasts. We're about to pray. Every Nation office in Nashville, what do you want us to pray for? And the whiteboard is filled with prayer requests from all over the world. And we take 30 minutes twice a week, from 4:30 to 5 on Tuesday, 4:30 to 5 on Thursday. And we just say, please be at one of those prayer meetings. That's our way of saying we want a spiritual culture. If you can't take 30 minutes one day, 30 minutes, one of your work days a week, and we're not doing it after hours, we're doing it during work, but only 30 minutes, and we pray. We go in there and we, so if you've been entering data all day for NPD partners, but then you walk in there that 30 minutes, we're praying for our church plant in India, and we're praying for a campus ministry outreach in London, and we're praying for Rice is launching the God test in South Africa, and we're praying for stuff all over the world, and people, you know, they come out connected with God, but also with the mission of what we're doing. And some people will go twice a week. Most of them just go once, and that's all we want. And you've got to figure out how can you make, realizing you have work to do, you have a task, but how can I make a spiritual culture here? And whether that's prayer, Bible study, whatever that is, you know, if we took, you know, half a day twice a week to pray, we wouldn't accomplish any of the work we're trying to do. But we figured, we settled on those two 30-minute slots, and it's been great. And when new people come, that's one of the things that really encourages them about working there, the new people who have come on board, that there's that, we're very serious about the work we do, but there are those moments of praying and seeking God together and intentionally trying to create that spiritual culture that's Christ-centered and faith-inspiring. So, all right, let's talk about that. Get in a group right there. And then, Jack, we got one more video, right? We're going to close with that video. So go ahead and discuss that. How can you, in your department, what is being done to help create a spiritual culture, and what can you do to do a better job at creating a spiritual culture in your world, in your department, in your context, okay? Because you know what? Listen, honestly, I've seen some church staffs that spiritually are no different than a Jollibee staff. They don't ever pray together. They don't seek God together. It's just work. And so again, the answer is not a prayer meeting necessarily, but how do we do it? How do we create a spiritual climate? All right? Talk about that. What has worked and how can you do it better? Okay, back there at the back table, Janice and Joanne, one of y'all, give us a summary of what you're talking about.
I'm talking about in our department, we have Tuesday meetings. So I think it would be good for our team to realize that apart from God, we can do nothing, or whatever we do here is if we don't do it with God, you know, it really doesn't make any impact at all. So, yeah, I guess we should seek God more and we call this dependent on Him. Especially in our line of work, which is purely technical, it's so easy to lean through your technical knowledge, what you learned from your school, from your experience. But then again, it's very equally important or more important to seek God in what you do.
Great. Excellent. Over here. Summary over here, okay?
In Victory Elbang, we really appreciated it. At the start of Tuesday at 10, we started with 1 hour devotional with the whole staff together with the pastoral group. So it's a 1 hour thing. That's where we have a calendar for the whole year wherein one person will be assigned for the word, the other one is for worship. Then it goes around, so everybody has a chance to share a word and to lead the worship. So we started every Tuesday. Then right after that, for kids ministry alone in our department, after that devotional, we huddle for a few minutes before, again, starting our concern in the ministry. We started with a word and encouragement also and prayer for each other.
Right. Good. Okay, somebody else. Anybody else? Right here in the middle? Ethel, Laika, or who's?
We have our admin meeting on a Tuesday, and we were just talking about that we really have to fight for our prayer time, because there are times that there are a lot of work, you have to think about this, there are a lot of things to be done during that week, but we're just talking that we just have to fight for that time together seeking the Lord. And we're thinking of coming a little earlier of our work just to prepare for that. And really rally even the whole admitting that prayer time is not just about the opening prayer or the closing prayer, but really seeking God with the things that He wants us and the things that He is leading us for that week. So we cannot let go of that. That's what we decided to do.
All right, great. Anybody else over here? Any last summary? Tristan?
At least the light bulb moment for us is that deliberately setting aside time for prayer. In our context for worship services, sometimes with so many things that need to get done, when we approach the volunteers, it's just doing the job and, you know, just get this meeting. But now we're thinking of, you know, adding time to really pray for the volunteers, pray for people, add that in the program, in the meeting. So that's it.
Excellent. All right. Good. Jack, ready to roll? Okay.